Today, we're still in our series of teachings, glory to God, entitled The Kingdom of God / Kingdom of Heaven, or The Kingdom of God and the Kingdom of Heaven. Somebody say amen. But today, our lesson will change. Say, will change. Our today's lesson will be entitled Being Influenced. Say, being influenced by the Holy Spirit is part of kingdom living, or is part of the kingdom rule within the child of God. Somebody say amen. I know that's long, but that's what it took. Somebody say amen. Today we want to start a lesson, which would take us 2 or 3 weeks to finish, entitled Being Influenced. Say, being influenced. Being influenced by the Holy Spirit is part of kingdom living, that is, the kingdom rule within the child of God. Amen. When you look up the word filled, somebody say filled, from the Greek perspective, one of the definitions of the word filled is to be influenced. Somebody say influenced. It has several different definitions, but one of them would be to be influenced. Somebody say to be influenced. It means to furnish, to be imbued. It means to diffuse or to be completely filled. Somebody say completely filled. But again, one of the definitions of the word filled from the Greek perspective is influence. Somebody say influence. So we want to start today by defining the term influence. The term influence carried two definitions this morning. Number one, the term influence is defined as the capacity. Say capacity. Can you say capacity? Most times when we use the word capacity, we just simply mean power. Somebody say power. It's defined as the capacity to have an effect or impact on the character, development, or behavior of someone. Number one, the word influence carries the connotation of the capacity to have an effect or impact on the character, development, or behavior of someone. Amen. So when the Holy Spirit influences us, he impacts us in at least three ways: in our character, somebody say amen, in our development, our spiritual development, and our behavior. Somebody say amen. Number two, the word influence is defined as to induce into action. Somebody say induce into action. Somebody say amen. The term induce being defined as to lead or to move by persuasion or somebody say influence as to some action or state of mind, that is, a way of thinking or a thought, if you will, amen. So when the Holy Spirit induces us, i.e. influences us, he oftentimes moves us to some type of action or some type of act. Somebody say act. And he even influenced our thinking. Somebody say amen. Now right here, what I normally give, you can cut this off if you don't mind. Somebody say amen. Right here where I usually give the subject, you take time to give us proof text. Say proof text. Somebody say proof text. Proof text. Proof text. Simply scriptures that prove the subject. Somebody say amen. Or proves the subject. Amen. I'm like you, I'm hot too. Somebody say amen. We might be able to shift to the air. I don't know how. I already say something about it, but say amen. So we normally give you the proof text to prove the subject. Somebody say amen. But before we do that this week, there are some things that I would like to give you that was given to me by revelation of the Holy Spirit, or give to us to ponder on. Somebody say ponder on. Or think about before we get to the proof text. Somebody say amen. There's about 7 things, maybe 8 things, that I would like to share with us this morning concerning the Holy Spirit, just for us to think about. Somebody say think about. Somebody say think about. Are you ready for them? Number one, before the Holy Spirit can influence a child of God or a believer in Christ consistently, he must reside within him. Amen. Before the Holy Spirit can influence us, believers, before the Holy Spirit can influence us children of God consistently. Somebody say consistently. The Holy Spirit has to reside in us. Somebody say within us. Or live or dwell on the inside of us. Amen. Let's start here by proving the fact that he does live in us. Somebody say amen. And then we want to talk about where he lives. Am I making sense to you already? Let's start with Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16. Corinthians 3. Think about this as you go along throughout your day. You go about doing your business. You go about doing your various work. We need to think about that if we are believers in Christ, if we've been born again, if we're children of God, that we're carrying the Holy Spirit with us everywhere we go. Say, I carry the Holy Spirit with me everywhere that I go. Can I help you today? He's one of the vehicles by which, or we are one of the vehicles by which he gets around in the earth realm. I say amen. Everywhere we go, whether it's legal or illegal, whether it's good or bad, say good or bad, since or if we are believers in Christ, children of God, the Holy Spirit is within us to carry us. Somebody say amen. Well, it's up or down, side by side, front or back, wherever we go, if we're believers in Christ, if we believers in Christ, I want you to wake up. Somebody say, wake up. If we're believers in Christ, we're children of God, the Holy Spirit resides with us. Somebody say, amen. Somebody say, live. As long as you live, he lives. On the inside of us, amen. He don't need us breathing to live, but he needs us living to carry him throughout the earth. Somebody say, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We have any issues with that? I need to go to my Bible. I thought that was going to shake me all the way up this morning. I was going to start singing, Take Me Back. Somebody say amen. Take 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul writes to the church at Corinth. He speaks to all believers. Say all believers. He writes, don't you realize? Can I have that in the New King James Version? He says, do you not know that you are what? Temple of God. Somebody say amen. And that what? You are the temple. Say the temple. When we try to paint all this as being the temple, and it's a place where the Holy Spirit does stop by occasionally. Somebody say amen. On the outside. Somebody say outside. But as it relates to us as being believers in Christ, we are temple. Say temple. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? You are a sacred place. Somebody say sacred. Somebody say a sacred place. Why would somebody say something to me about sitting on a communion table? And I respect somebody. Or running across the pulpit because it's a holy place. And I would say to them sometimes, rather than something. The only reason why this place is other. Somebody says that. Well, the only reason why the chair or the table would not hold it is because I'm sitting. Somebody say, man, because I am temple. Somebody say, temple. The word temple denotes dwelling. Somebody say, dwelling place. So Paul said, do you not know? If you didn't know, now you know. Do you not know that you are what? And that what? Somebody said, the whale's in me. Somebody said, the whale's in me. I don't care where you go. I don't care where we go. I've been to some places that I'm ashamed that I took the Holy Spirit with me in. Somebody say amen. I don't care where you go. Where you be. Somebody say, where you be as your body. Somebody say amen. Or where you do be, if you will, the Holy Spirit is with you if you are a child. if you are a believer in Christ. Somebody say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. Amen. He says, Paul writes again, church at Corinth, or do you not know that your body is what? Who is where? Whom you have what? Where does the Holy Spirit come from? And you are what? I don't belong to myself anymore if the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of me. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Which is the note of the fact that we ought to do some of the things that he tells us. We ought to do all the things that he tells us to do. Amen. But we are in process of progress or growing. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Let's go in verse number 20 for good measures. For you were what? Do you know what the price is? The blood of, somebody say blood of Jesus. No money price. Somebody say no money price. The blood of Jesus is the price. It says, therefore do what? In. Somebody say in. In. Somebody say in. Which means he might be talking to us concerning our spirit. Somebody say amen. Which is the real us. Somebody say amen. Okay, these bodies are just houses that we live in or that the Spirit lives in. Somebody say amen. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit here. I'm talking about our spirit, men and women live in. Somebody say amen. That's why we give up the ghost, or give up the spirit when we go home to be with the Lord, amen. And the body stays in the earth realm, stays in the earth realm until God comes back and gets it. Somebody say amen. Or until Jesus comes back and gets it. Somebody say amen. Is this sounding strange to you? It's truth. Somebody say amen. He says, therefore, glorify God in your body. Somebody say, in your body. And then he says, and in your spirit. Somebody say, in your spirit. You're born again spirit, which are what? Somebody say, God. So who we belong to? Somebody say, God. Somebody say, amen. You know, when you talk about your children, you say, those are my children. Did you know that my child did this? You know that my children do that. You got to recognize yourself as God's child, as God's children. And he's talking about us sometimes. Somebody say amen. And I hope to God that he's bragging on us all the time. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So the point is that the Holy Spirit lives in us if we are born again, if we're believers in Christ. Somebody say amen. If we are children of God. Somebody say amen. Now here's the big question. Where does the Holy Spirit live on this side? That's a big question. Let's look at the scriptures and find out. Let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verses 38 and 39. Chapter 38 and 39. This is Jesus speaking. So Jesus is talking. We need to listen up. Jesus said, he who believes in me, as scripture says, out of his heart, out of his heart, will flow rivers of what? Somebody say living water. I want to talk about that, but I don't want to talk about it right now. I'll talk about it in a little bit. Somebody say amen. Verse 79. But this he spoke concerning whom? Whom those believing in him would what? They would receive. There's a reason why he put it in the future. It was because he was still in the earth realm before the Holy Spirit poured out for all believers. Jesus went back to heaven. Somebody say amen. He said, when I get back to heaven, I'm going to send another comforter. That comforter is the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. He says, for the Holy Spirit was what? Not because what? He hadn't died and resurrected. Somebody say amen. Now, go back to verse number 38 so we can find out where the Holy Spirit lives. He who believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of what? Somebody say his heart. So New King James reference to where the Holy Spirit lives specifically on the inside of us is in our heart. Somebody say heart. Somebody say heart. Let's learn. Somebody say let's learn. The word heart right there is the Greek word hearty. Say hearty. Sometimes it means this heart. Sometimes from a figurative perspective, it means this heart. This has to do with the thinking, feeling, the mind. Somebody say the mind. And then it goes on from a figurative perspective to define the word cardia as belly. Somebody say belly. Or, somebody say or. Or the middle of man. Somebody say the middle of man. So we surmise from the definition of the term heart that where the Holy Spirit lives within us is in our belly. Somebody say belly. Or in our abdominal cavity. Say abdominal cavity. Say he lives in my belly. Give me the King James translation on that. It says outright. Somebody say amen. He that believeth on me, Jesus said, as the scriptures had said, out of what? Somebody say his belly. Somebody say his belly shall flow what? Verse 39 helps us to understand that he speaks about the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is. Somebody say amen. Do anybody here pray in the Spirit? Pray in the Spirit. Oftentimes when I pray in the Spirit, my spirit prays. Somebody say amen. Oftentimes when I pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is praying. Somebody say he's praying. How do I tell the difference? I tell the difference as to whom is praying, whether it's my spirit or the Holy Spirit, is by where it comes from. When the Holy Spirit intercedes for me, say intercedes for me, which perhaps means I probably prayed something that I shouldn't pray or I needed a little help for to get the perfect will of God manifested in my life. Somebody say amen. When the Holy Spirit prays or intercedes for me, he comes out of my belly. Somebody say out of his belly. And I can feel it rise. Somebody say amen. I've told you before, sometimes the force is so strong when you pray for me, it almost turns me over. I'm glad I'm seated. Somebody say seated. So when the Holy Spirit intercedes for me, out of me, he comes here. Somebody say amen. When I pray in the Spirit, when my spirit prays, oftentimes it just comes from like a natural flow, if you will. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So the scripture is clear. Somebody say clear. Where the Holy Spirit resides within the believer, and that place is in the belly or the abdominal cavity of mankind. Somebody say amen. Now, oftentimes I hear preachers preach. Say preach. And I'm a preacher. Somebody say amen. And when they talk about their spirit, they point to the belly. And oftentimes I might not say nothing, but I'm going to take a little issue with that according to what the scripture teaches. The scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit lives here, which means my spirit is somewhere else. Somebody say amen. Can they reside in the same places? Of course they can, but I don't believe that they do based upon experience and some scriptures. Somebody say amen. So we need to always remember wherever we go, we carry the Holy Spirit with us because we're children of God. Somebody say children of God. We need to always remember where he resides. He resides. Somebody looking at me real funny. In our bellies. Somebody said our bellies. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Somebody said Jesus said it. Jesus says that's where he lives. Which makes me a little apprehensive about what I put in there sometimes. Somebody say amen. Because he lives in there. Somebody say amen. I didn't say all the time. Somebody say sometimes. So where does the Holy Spirit lives within us? He lives within our bellies. Somebody say amen. Or in our abdominal cavity. Somebody say amen. Pastor, why is this important? It's important because you need to know where he is on the inside of us. Somebody say amen. Now, Jesus said it, and Paul backs it up. Somebody say amen. Not that Jesus needs it backing up. Let's put it this way. Paul coincides with what Jesus said. Somebody say amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. I like that in the New Living Translation. Say New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians. All right. And he has what? Identified us as his own by what? Somebody say in our heart. That word heart, the Greek word cardio, which translates figurative mind or belly. Somebody say belly. Somebody say belly. He says, he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as what? the first installment that guarantees everything that he promised. Somebody say everything he's promised. We can believe that everything that God has promised us, we will receive because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Somebody say amen. He gave us the first promise, or perhaps the second promise. The first promise will be eternal life. Second promise will be the Holy Spirit. And we can believe that he gave us, that he will give us everything that he promised us because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside. And on the inside here, point here. I see somebody pointing here. Let's get her straight. Somebody say right here. Can you lay your hands on your belly? Anybody, just everybody. Y'all are some hard-headed children sometimes, amen. If I had a strap, I'd whoop some of y'all. Somebody say amen. But I have to be ready to fight because I know y'all want to fight back. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Have you ever seen people, when they're praying for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost, they lay their hands on their belly? Because they understand that's where the Holy Spirit will reside. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Another word that's used in the place of identifying or identification is sealed. Somebody say sealed. If you read the New King James Translation or the King James Translation, you will see the word seal opposed to the word identify. It simply carries an Old Testament connotation. Any prominent man in the Old Testament or any king in the Old Testament had what they called a signet ring. He wore a signet ring on his finger, which he dipped in ink and pressed it down on any official document or any letter that he wanted to prove that was from him for the sake of identifying his authentic identity. Somebody say amen. So in that way, we have the stamp of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Somebody say amen. Identifying us with God the Father. Somebody say amen. One day I was preaching and I asked a church question, what does the word seal mean? And my awesome, beautiful little mother-in-law blurted out, means to be locked in. Somebody said locked in. Somebody said locked in. I stole that from her. I believe one of the other meanings that seal can have is to be locked in. Somebody said locked in. We're locked in to God by way of the Holy Spirit's presence on the inside of us. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Another way to say that is we're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Y'all all right? 1 Corinthians 12, 13. New King James Translation. By one spirit, we are all what? Baptized into one body. Somebody say one body. Whether we're Jews, Greek, whether we're slaves or free. Somebody say, I'm not a slave. We've been all set free from a physical perspective. Or are we free from a mental perspective? That's the question. Physically, as African-American people, we're not enslaved. From a physical perspective. How are we doing here? How are we doing? Are we in anything here? I won't blow your mind, and I'm inclusive in this. Scripture teaches when we are indebted to somebody, like we have a mortgage, car payment, credit card, et cetera. We're in bondage to those folks. Quiet on stuff like that. But scripture teaches that's true. They got a hold on us until we pay them. Not only do they have a hold on us, they have a hold on our possession until we pay them. You don't get a clear title until you pay. Somebody say amen. Or unless you bought credit, unless you bought pay cash. Somebody say amen. So to be in debt is to be somewhat in bondage. Some of us, in order for us to get out of bondage from our creditors, this has to change. One, we got to believe that it's possible not to be in debt. And then if we're in debt, we got to believe that it's possible to get out of debt. once I think or get in the right direction, we need to work with God or work at getting out of debt. Amen. That includes paying off the bill and saving simultaneously if we can, so that the next time it comes up for us to purchase something, I said I'm included too, we might be able to pay for it. And you know, we talked about that seed special offering. God wants to free some of us so that we won't be in bondage. Somebody say one. And two, he wants to free us so that we can give more to his kingdom work. And then all you're doing is planting seed all over again. And you can expect the harvest on that seed that you're planting as well. So physically, we're not in bondage. Mentally, we could be in bondage. Amen. I'll move on, because sometimes I look at y'all faces and y'all faces tell me a lot. Somebody say amen. He says, for by one spirit, and these are not phrases of condemnation. What you understand? It's just truth. Somebody say truth. If we're going to ever change anything in our lives, first we have to accept the truth of the matter as it relates to where we are. Then we work at getting. Somebody say getting out. So he says, for by one spirit we were what? Baptized, all baptized, thank you, into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been what? So we're in one body, believers are. Children of God. We are one body. We're made to drink from one spirit. Somebody say amen. Which brings up an interesting point. If I can get my spiritual thirst quenched by the Holy Spirit, so can you. Somebody say, so can I. Because we're all drinking from what? Somebody say one spirit. He didn't say the preacher was drinking from one spirit and the parishioners was drinking from another. He said we are all who are in the body of Christ are drinking from what? Somebody say one spirit. Here I go again. We got to learn how to communicate with him. We got to learn how to talk with him. We got to learn how to listen with him, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to show you some things concerning the Holy Spirit in this. Somebody say amen. Other than the fact that he resides in our belly. Somebody say amen. So where does the Holy Spirit live in the believer, in the child of God? Somebody say in our belly. Now here's something that you might want to think about. If you're not sure whether or not he lives on the inside, you can invite him. You can ask him. You can ask the Father to feel you with him. Somebody say amen. Because here's the real deal. If you're going to be led, you got to have him. If we're going to have effective ministry, we got to have him. Somebody say have him. Somebody say amen. Go to Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Y'all all right? If you deem being evil or being sinful by accident, if you will, know how to give good gifts. Somebody say good gifts to your children. Somebody say to your children. How much more will your heavenly Father, say heavenly Father, the noting that the Spirit of God belongs to God's children. Somebody say amen. How much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who do what? Somebody say who ask him. Somebody say who ask him. So if you're not sure what you can ask the Father for it. Somebody say the Father for it. Somebody say the Father for it. Always remember that he's a what? Good gift. Say good gift. Somebody say good gift. Every good and perfect gift comes from above or comes from God, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Somebody say amen. So he's a good gift. They're a good gift. Listen to the term gift. You can't purchase him. You can't work hard enough to receive him. He's a gift from God. Somebody say he's a gift. And I want you to understand that he's not an it. He's a person. Say person. Theologically, he's the third person of the Godhead. Somebody say Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All three are God. Somebody say amen. So he's a good gift. Say a good gift. And he belongs to God's children. Am I talking to the right house? Somebody say amen. So point number one, if the Holy Spirit will influence us consistently as children of God, as believers in God, he must first reside, somebody say reside, on the inside of us. And where does he live in us? Somebody say amen. Point number two. This is a good one. When we choose our own desires, their own desires, over the Holy Spirit's leading, say leading, or influence, we choose the lesser. L-E-S-S-E-R. Here we go again. When we choose, say we choose, our own desires over the Holy Spirit's leading or influence, we choose the lesser. Somebody say we choose the lesser. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. So which means that the Holy Spirit choice, when we use the term will, desires, we're talking about choice. Somebody say choice. The Holy Spirit's choice is greater than ours. I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit's choice, if he's leading us at any particular time, his choice is greater than ours. What makes his choice greater than ours? He's the greater one that lives within us. 1 John 4, 4 says, you are what? Of God. Little children have what? Say, overcome them. Them being those who oppose Christ. Somebody say amen. Because he who is in you or us is greater. Somebody say greater. Than he who is where. So if he's greater in us, his choice will be greater than our choice if he's leading us. Or when he's leading us. Somebody say amen. So if you choose your choice over his choice, when he's leading us, his choice being his will. Somebody say amen. You and I choose the lesser. Somebody say the lesser. Now your choice might be good, but it might not be the better choice. Am I talking right out? If he's leading you in any direction, we're going to talk about how he leads us. Somebody say amen. So we'll be all on the same page as it relates to how he leads us or influences us. If he's leading us at any time and we choose our own desire over what he's leading us to do, we have chosen the lesser choice. Somebody say lesser choice. I talked a little bit last week about permissive opposed to perfect will of God. Somebody say amen. I testify concerning my wife and I. We chose to follow our own desires concerning a couple of things when God was leading us by the Holy Spirit, which means we got the lesser. Somebody say we got the lesser. And every now and then we find out we got the lesser by some of the things we have to deal with. Somebody say amen. If we had followed the Holy Spirit's leading, guess what? We would have got the greater. Say the greater. Which means we also would have gotten the perfect will of God for us in that situation or in those situations. Somebody say amen. So anytime you choose, say we choose the Holy Spirit's choice over our own choice. Not only are we choosing the greater choice, opposed or over the lesser, but we're also choosing the perfect will of the Holy Spirit at that time. Am I talking to the right house? Somebody say amen. So here's the point again, when we choose our own desires over the Holy Spirit's leading or influence, remember he's leading you at that time or influencing you at that time. Somebody say amen. Anytime he's not leading or influencing us, whatever choice we make is our choice, and we live by that choice. Somebody say amen. But when he's influencing us, or when he's leading us, and we choose our choice, will, or desire over his, we are settling for the lesser. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen again. Now, I want to help us. When we choose the Holy Spirit's choice, whose consequences or results do we get? Somebody say the Holy Spirit. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. When we choose our choice, desires, or will over the Holy Spirit's influence or leading for us, whose consequences do we get? Somebody say our own. whose consequences do you want when the Holy Spirit is leading you? Somebody say Holy Spirit. Oh, y'all saying Holy Spirit, so that means you got to line up. We have to line up. Somebody say line up. I fight. In some instances, not even question, because we have to understand that he knows best for us. Somebody say knows best for us. And when we can get to that place, somebody say that place, it's easy to submit. I know what I want to do. I know this is what I want to do. But the Holy Spirit is leading me to do something else. And he knows. He can keep me out of a whole lot of trouble if I learn how to follow him. He can keep me out of a whole lot of situations that I wouldn't be in if I followed his lead. Because he's the greatest. He knows what's better. Somebody say better. He even knows God's perfect will for us. Somebody say amen. So when we choose the Holy Spirit choice and follow his leading, we get his result, his consequence. When I choose my desires over his, guess what happens? I get my consequence. We ain't going to call it messing up, but it is sort of messing up. Somebody say amen. We get our consequences, our desires. Let's prove that. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Verse number 9, and I'll take the New Living Translation on that. Y'all all right? Pass this sweat. It's hot. Go back to verse number 8. Somebody said, that's the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'll take that. Somebody say, amen. Well, it might be this wool jacket that I have on. Somebody say, amen. And this turtleneck. Somebody say, amen. Because I thought the weatherman said it was going to be cool outside. Amen. I'm not trying to be cool. I thought he said it was going to be cool outside. Somebody say amen. This is what the scripture is. Those who what? Will harvest what? From what? Simply means if we choose, and oftentimes when we're choosing our desires over his choice, we're choosing sin. Which means when we choose our own desires, we get what? Our consequence. That must be our consequence. Y'all looking like deer caught in headlights. Somebody say amen. The truth is just the truth. Somebody say amen. But those who live what? All right, let's read that one more time. Those who do what? Now, that almost sounds like a work salvation, but that's not what he's saying. Basically, what he's saying is if we choose the Holy Spirit choice, we will choose God life over the sin practice or life. Somebody say amen. Oftentimes, when we see eternal life, it doesn't always mean everlasting life. We have lasting life. It's sometimes talked about the good life or the abundant life. Somebody say the abundant life. Y'all all right? Go to John chapter 10, verse number 10. Somebody say 10:10. All right. Let's just use the B portion. Give me that in the New King James. Jesus said, he talked about what the thief came to. Then he talked about where he came to. Somebody say, amen. He said, I have come that you may have what? And have it how? Somebody say, have it what? Somebody say, more abundantly. The word abundantly is a very interesting word. One part of it is defined as superabundant. Somebody say, superabundant. In quantity. Somebody say, in quantity. That would be the amount of life. Somebody say superabundant in quantity. Now, if your life is not being expressed the way Jesus said it should be expressed, I think we probably need to start asking questions. Why am I not living abundantly? And sometimes the answer will come back this way. Perhaps we're not doing what Jesus told us to do, to have the abundance. Somebody say amen. Another part of the meaning of the word abundantly has to do with superiority. Somebody say superiority. It deals with a superior life and quality. Somebody say quality. Somebody say quality. Which denotes or speaks to the fact that we can live a superior life over sin. are over sin practice. Somebody say amen. God don't want us to be superior over others, don't want us to act superior over others, but we can live a superior life over sin practices, which equals the abundant life, according to Jesus' word. Somebody say amen. So if we want to live the abundant life in quality, we must learn how not to give in to all of our sinful desires, which equals sinful practice and quality. I think we said it last week, practice make what? About a hollow perfect. Somebody say perfect. No, practice make habit. That's why the scripture tells us, Paul says we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That's the part of our mind that holds habits and practice. So we have to change our habits and practices. We'll change what this particular part of our brain holds so that we can practice the new practice opposed to the old. Am I talking to the right house? So practice make what? Somebody say habit. I talked about my brother-in-law, Mike Doss. If he would have been here last week, he probably would have said amen, but he's with the Lord. Somebody say with the Lord. He's taught us down through the years, meaning our family, that if we can change a habit for 21 days or change a practice for 21 days, in most cases, we can morph it into a habit. But you got to practice it consistently for at least 21 days. Somebody say 21 days. Somebody say amen. So part of the abundant life as it relates to superiority is a life of sinful practice. Somebody say amen. Let me help us all. It's a process. Say process. If you've been used to doing something the way that you've been used to doing it, it takes a while sometimes to change that. But we got to at least work at it in order for it to happen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen again. So somebody say amen as I make my way back to my manuscript. So I give you the last point. Say the last point. Here again, let me make sure that you understand when we choose our choice over the Holy Spirit's choice, we choose the lesser. Somebody say the lesser. We don't want the lesser. I can tell by the way we act sometimes when we get the lesser. We don't want the lesser. Somebody say, want the lesser. So we ought to start making choices that will bring the greater. Somebody say, amen. If I want money in the bank, guess what I got to do? Choose to save. Choose to put something in there. Somebody say, amen. If I want to keep selling for the lesser, not having any money in the bank, spend it or don't put none in there. Does that make sense? If I want to have something in the time of hardship, if you will, I can count on the Lord. Somebody say, count on the Lord. But oftentimes, we need to learn how to save in the time of plenty, so when the time of lack comes, we'll have something that we can pull from. Somebody say amen. And then you don't have to always bother the church. Maybe instead of bothering the church, you can be a help to the person who's in lack. Somebody say amen. I don't like truth. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So if we choose to follow our leading over the Holy Spirit's leading, we choose lesser. Somebody say the lesser. Because he's the greater. Say he's the greater. Number three. Somebody sighed over there. I heard you. Amen. No, this is number three. Got some witnesses today, amen. Number three, we know, somebody say, we know that God lives in us, the believer in Christ, or the child of God, by the Holy Spirit that lives in us. We can be sure, somebody say sure, we can be sure that God lives on the inside of us when the Holy Spirit is living on the inside. And I want to tell you something, you know, we don't like to get into feelings too much, but we can feel the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. We can feel his leading. We can feel, yes, sir, I'll go to that one next. Yes, sir. We can feel his conviction. The Holy Spirit wants me to jump over two or three to go to one more before I close. We can feel his conviction. And I'm going to teach you during this series of teaching that we can hear him speaking to us. Because he does talk. Somebody say he does talk. But we can feel him working on the inside of us. There are some mornings when I'm in prayer, I know it's time to stop. because I'll get conviction in my spirit that it's time to stop. Sometimes when I'm in prayer, I want to stop, but I'm getting conviction in my spirit. No, you need to stay here a little while longer. And it might not be to talk. It might just be to listen. Amen. I feel the Holy Spirit convicted. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So we can know that God lives within us, sure, by the fact that the Holy Spirit on the side. The Holy Spirit is God. You do know that. Somebody say amen. 1 John 3:24. I know this might be a little boring for you right now, but it's going to pick up. Somebody say amen. The Bible said grow in grace and in the knowledge. Somebody said knowledge of God. Time out for us to be shouting empty. Shouting empty. We need to know something. We need to be able, the scriptures say, to defend our faith all the time. Somebody say all the time. You can't defend your faith without knowledge. And if you go in tongues, don't nobody know what you're talking about except God, because half the time we don't know what we're saying. Somebody say amen. So we need to be able to intellectually defend our faith, which means we need to know something concerning our faith. You need to know how you got saved. Somebody say, how I got saved. Well, it wasn't by works. It was by grace through faith. Somebody say amen. You need to know what faith looked like. You need to know what the Holy Spirit does in your life, et cetera, et cetera. We need to have some knowledge because we need to be able to defend our faith or to defend what we believe. Somebody say amen. Every now and then it's going to slow down. We ain't going to be running in shouting. We're going to be taking in what the Lord is sharing with us. We always shout through worship. Somebody say shout through worship. Now it's time to learn. Somebody say amen. Amen. John writes, now he who keeps his commandment abides in him. Somebody say abides in him. Now this is not necessarily talking about the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, it ain't talking about the Ten Commandments. Because Jesus already fulfilled them. Somebody say he fulfilled the law. So commandments here carry the connotation of authoritative prescribed will, which has everything to do with what Jesus has told us or what God tells us in relationship with him. Does that make sense to you? He says, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in what? Or them or us. And by this, somebody say, by this we know that he abides in us. How? By the Spirit whom he has given us. Somebody say amen. So I'm sure. Somebody say I'm sure. Somebody say I'm sure. I'm sure I belong to God because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of me. You can't make me believe that I'm not a child. I don't care what kind of derogatory stuff. And you don't act like a child of God. I might not be acting like one right now, but I'm still his. Because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of me. You weren't acting like a child of God last week. I might not have been acting like him last week, but I'm still his because he lives on the inside of me. And since he leads me, I'm for sure he lives on the inside of me. Behavior change. Their behavior change is a process. We need to learn this. Behavior change is a process. Say a process. Process. Say process. Somebody say process. It comes as a result of us renewing our mind in the right material, if you will. Amen. So it's a process. Somebody say process. Process. Somebody say process. So just because I know the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He is a new creature. He's born again. He's made over on the inside. Somebody say amen. But your behavior might still be the same because this hadn't been renewed. No. I didn't look at my hands and my hand looked new. They still look the same way. Amen. If they were ashy when I got saved, they're still ashy after I got saved. Somebody say amen. They didn't look new because he wasn't dealing with my outer man. He was dealing with my inner man. I looked at my feet. They still look the same too. Amen. Because he wasn't dealing with my feet. I might walk a little differently in different directions, but he wasn't dealing with my feet. He was dealing on the inside of me. Somebody say amen. So my spirit has changed. Now I can communicate with God and receive from God. Somebody say amen. But in order for me to live the way that he desired for me to live, it takes some changing up here. Well, I'm sure. Say, I'm sure. I'm a child of God because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Here's the last thing I want to tell you today. I'm going to skip one. You know, to make a marking, so I'll get back to that next week. I just right? One of the counselors used to say, right, chill. Right, chill.
What I want to close.
What would this be, number four or number five? Number four? Oh, that means I can talk right here. Number four. Somebody say if. This is a big one. This might offend somebody. But I want you to listen. Somebody say listen. If we are not led by the Holy Spirit of God, we are not children. If the Holy Spirit is not leading us, we're not God's children. Let me help you. He can lead us without our minds being renewed, because he can lead us in our spirits. I'll talk about that a little bit next week. I don't have time to get into this week into it because it's going to take me a minute to explain it. If he's not leading us, if the Holy Spirit don't lead an individual, I ain't going to say us because all of us are born again. The Holy Spirit don't lead an individual, it means that we don't belong to God. That shocks us, doesn't it? Go to Romans chapter 8, number 14. Now, Pastor, go being judgmental. I promise you I'm not being judgmental. I'm just telling you what the word says. Romans 8, 14. Listen to what it said. For what? Who are they? So if we're led by the Spirit of God, it means what? Say sons of God or children of God. Somebody say children of God. On the other side, somebody say on the flip side, if we're not led, it means we're not his. That's strong. I used to fight with theologians who said that there were imitation Christians. But then I read the wheat in the tares. Parable of the wheat in the tares. There are some real Christians and there are some imitation Christians, sometimes sitting in the midst of them. God said, don't touch the wheat. Let him take care of it. Somebody say amen. Because sometimes when we try to uproot the tare, we'll mess up and pull up the wheat. Because we might be judging on behavior, and behavior might not have gotten to the place it needs to get to. Fruit inspectors. Amen. Somebody say amen. So if the Holy Spirit is not leading us, now, if you're a believer, or if you believe you're a believer, and you want the Holy Spirit to be a part of your life, and you don't know for sure, remember I showed you in scripture where you pray. Pray for him to reside. Somebody say reside. But the scripture says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Somebody say children of God. Put that up in the New Living Translation as I get ready to take my seat. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, of whom? Say children of God. The other side is true. We're not led. So I gave you how many today? I'll pick up next week, give you at least three more. I think I heard the Lord talking a little bit about something else this morning. I was finished. Maybe four more. These are things we need to ponder. Come on, say ponder. Before we even get to the meat of the message. Based upon what we've learned about the Holy Spirit in the past, that was not necessarily accurate during the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. One thing you're going to learn is this: the Holy Spirit ain't going to make you do nothing. He ain't going to make us do nothing. He ain't going to make us do nothing. He's going to lead us and influence us, and the choice is going to be ours to follow him. He ain't going to make us do nothing. So we run around the church talking about the Holy Spirit, make me do something. You submitted to either emotion or what you believe that the Holy Spirit was leading you to do. He didn't make you do nothing. We're going to learn that. But we're going to also learn that it's to our advantage to submit to his leading. His influence, everything. I'm going down the highway and he's convicting me that something down the highway might. No, I can't get that. Somebody say amen. Well, let's bless God for what he's done in the house. Amen. Woo! Somebody say amen. You know what I just did? I followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Let us pray.